My guest at this time is retired U.S. Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jessie Jane Duff. She is now a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. She is also an outspoken advocate for major reforms at the Department of Veterans Affairs. So as President-elect Donald Trump considers who to nominate to lead that department, what are the top priorities in making sure our veterans get easy access to quality care? And Jessie, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so happy to be on your show.
Well, before we get to the specific solutions on those things, one of the things we've learned, not only in the Obama administration, but for a long time now, is the massive VA bureaucracy and how even well-intentioned people have a hard time getting reforms through. So how do you begin to cut through the massive bureaucracy in order to be able to make some of these changes that are necessary?
Well, the first and biggest priority, of course, is to get a strong secretary, somebody who's handled large budgets and large numbers of personnel. The Veterans Administration is one of the largest administrations, probably the largest, maybe only second to DOD. I know they have the second largest budget next to DOD, and they also have over 300,000 employees. This is not for somebody who just is well-versed on the VA. It's great to be versed on the VA, but if you don't have management experience dealing with unions, dealing with backlogs, dealing with bureaucracy and trying to get being a positive change agent, you're not going to be the person for the job. I'm not even that concerned if somebody is a veteran or not. It's not a military organization. It services veterans. I need somebody who is service-oriented and understands what it is to deliver on a product or service to a customer, particularly one that is so important, such as our American veterans. Someone like Rick Perry, maybe he would be interested. I don't know if his talents would be aligned with this. I'm probably not the right person to ask who would be best for it, but Rick Perry does happen to be a veteran himself. He has obviously managed an enormous budget. He had great success in Texas with the economy. He also is he's very concerned with veterans. He has been outspoken. He has gone to the medical centers down there in Texas. So at least on its surface, without going in too deep, someone on that level I think would make a very powerful change and could walk into the VA with already an element of respect as a known name, a person who's a heavy hitter and who has managed large budgets and large numbers of personnel. The changes are going to be difficult, though. It's going to be very difficult. Whoever does get in there is going to have to align themselves with really strong undersecretaries. The Veterans Administration is broken up into many, many multiple departments, and they're scattered throughout the nation. So you can easily find little pocket groups that are going to do their own thing because they can bypass the eyes and ears of the flagpole, so to speak. The closer you are to the headquarters, the closer you're being watched. You have to have people that you trust and understand what your mission is and get it in place. They also are going to have to deal with the union that manages these VA employees. These VA employees that they have tried to fire, I will give Secretary McDonald some credit, he had tried to fire multiple employees of the VA, and it was just never successful with it. And often it was because they would go through this appeal process, and the union that protects these employees would find that little loophole that said, no, that doesn't fall under the guidances of our agreements, and they were able to get many of these employees back pay and reassigned or placed back into the jobs that they had been severed from. So the process, the system, everything about it is so severed, so broken, you have to have somebody willing to go in there and recognize that and not try to pretend that you're going to put a bandage on a sucking chest wound.
So, Jessie, what needs to be the approach then, whether it's the secretary themselves or an undersecretary, when you're confronting this status quo that never wants to change, whether it's the unions, whether it's entrenched civil bureaucrats and so forth, what do you actually have to do? Do you need more specific legislation from Congress that gives you more latitude to fire people and get the right people in there? How do you actually get things done?
I think one of the strategies that's going to happen, Donald Trump has made it very clear that he wants to limit government. He doesn't want the government to be drain the swamp was his, mantra, so to speak. So you have to find out how can we fire people without going through all this bureaucracy. It's going to require shaking up and breaking up that union. They're going to have to figure out a way to do it because trying to legislate your way out of this has proven time and time and time again to be ineffective. For example, we had a Veterans Choice Card that was supposed to be given out to the veterans. veterans who were over 40 miles away from a VA medical center and had been waiting over 30 days for an appointment. This was supposed to allow them to go get private care. Well, guess what happens? The bureaucracy to fill out the paperwork becomes so deep that many veterans got discouraged doing it. Some veterans have been reported as finding that the bills were never paid by the VA, and they turned around and got them on their credit report. And the VA itself had tried to allocate the billions of dollars they were given for it into other areas of the VA. What is their motive? I'm not quite sure, but it gives me the impression that they don't want their services outsourced, because I'm under the impression, and I could be wrong, but sometimes when it looks like what it is what it is, that they are getting more revenue based upon per head. Like, the more veterans they service, the better their budget is going to look. The reality is in Washington, people tend to look at everything as a dollar number. So if you're servicing of the 22.5 million veterans, and 9 million of them are being serviced by the VA, they don't want a million of them going somewhere else, and then they have to allocate funds to that. They have a huge, enormous budget. We have to put the veterans first, not the bureaucracy of the employees first, not protecting these executives. Sometimes it's time to clean house, and when they put the executives in front of the veteran, that's where you get these problems. Alan West just came out with an article that indicated that in some of the veterans within the VA, there were hospitals that weren't sanitizing their equipment, and now over 500-some-odd veterans are getting a notice to come back in and get tested for HIV, hepatitis, because the dentist was only washing his own equipment, which was against the VA policy, of course, and all sanitizing rules within the medical industry. So, you know, there's a lot of mud in this. You've got to get strong leaders. It's not just one strong secretary, strong undersecretaries, strong deputy secretaries. They all have to understand what their marching orders are and not to go out there and chum up with the employees. The employees have to understand, this is the new sheriff in town. We're going to get this right, and whatever it takes is what we're going to do. They're going to meet massive resistance, and the unions are going to probably fight them left and right. But they have to get the right center of attention, and that is back on the veteran and not the veteran employee or the VA employee.
We're talking with retired U.S. Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jessie Jane Duff. She's now a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. And Jessie, is it possible to successfully reform the existing system? There are some people who say you basically need to blow this up and allow these veterans just to basically go get private sector care and then give the bills to the government rather than have the government running this entire healthcare system.
You know, that's a very difficult question. There's a lot of things that the VA does well, and there's some Veterans Administration hospitals that are run very well. And I think that gets lost in the mud, especially by some of your agenda-driven supposed veterans advocacy groups, which are not veteran advocacy groups. They're actually political 501c4s. I would suggest to a lot of people to watch out for them, because they have a political agenda, which is by their donors, and they want to dismantle anything where their taxpayer dollars go. Okay, so that right there, we got to be very cautious about who we're listening to and what their agenda is. Some of these groups get federal money, so they don't want to upset the apple cart with the VA. Some of them have been appointed by Congress, so they don't want to upset. We have to get somebody who's a clear-headed thinker that recognizes you're obviously not going to be able to service all veterans. You have to be able to allow veterans who are not near a VA medical system or not getting adequate care to go to facilities near them. That's rule number one. Rule number two, you don't have to destroy the entire system. You don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's many, many model hospitals that are out there, and use them as the diagram to reestablish those hospitals that are failing. You treat it like the school system. Set up a standard of excellence that must be managed and maintained. Those that do not manage it or maintain it are threatened to be closed or reformed or entire firings. It's difficult to gut anything in the government, but it has happened in the past. Bolton, when he was in, he had actually dismantled parts of the State Department. And we also know Ronald Reagan had also blasted the unions when their traffic controllers went on strike. There is a will, there is a way. But it takes somebody with that tenacity, drive, and no fear. No fear. You have to be a fearless leader in this, because the ramifications are going to be hot and heavy by the left, who are more concerned about the employee than the veteran.
Jessie, obviously it's been a major priority for Trump. He's talked about it a lot throughout the campaign. Now he's the president-elect. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that significant improvements are going to be made here?
Wow. I think it's going to take time, and I don't think we're going to see anything overnight. However, with the right people and the right direction and the right demands of them, and they're given checks and balances, and they're given a benchmark to reach every quarter and every year, I think we're going to see improvement, significant improvement, probably within the first year. We should see mass improvement in two, and I would expect before the end of his administration, within the first term, if should he be reelected, means he did a great job, because veterans are behind this man. The reason he's in office is because a huge number of those veterans got out there and voted for him. So he cannot drop the ball on this one. It will make or break his reelection.
Jesse, we'll leave it there, and we'll be watching. Thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. Have a wonderful afternoon.
You too. Retired U.S. Marine Corps Gunnery Sergeant Jesse Jane Duff, now a senior fellow at the London Center for Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.